Let's go to Judges chapter 15. Judges 15. Now, remember that the Lord tells us back in chapter 14, verse 4, that Samson wanting to take a bride from the Philistines was of the Lord. His parents tried to talk him out of it, but he wouldn't be turned away from his purpose to take a bride from the Philistines. And the Lord tells us in verse 4 that it's because the Lord sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. They had the rule over Israel. And what the Lord is showing us is what we are by nature. By nature, we are under the rule, the dominion of the Philistines, of a fallen, ruined, sinful nature. That's what we are by nature. We are a fallen, sinful, ruined, corrupt people who cannot save themselves, whose works are wickedness, whose works are violence, whose works are corrupt, and by our works we cannot save ourselves. And this is what the Lord is showing us throughout Scripture. And this again is brought to our attention here in Samson, the judge, the savior of Israel. And so we see here that in Samson, when we're looking at Samson, because you see things and sometimes you think, why is this man doing this? He's just a man. And yet he's doing these boastful things, these glorious things that no man should be able to do. And yet God had a purpose. So when you look at Samson, remember, he's not just a private citizen. He's not just a man who's doing his own thing. The Lord is using that man. And the Lord is speaking to his people. He's teaching his people that he is the judge, that he is the savior of Israel. He's the savior of his people. Over in Isaiah 33, verse 22, we're told, the Lord is judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. And so we're to be turned to look to the Lord. Like we'll see here with these Philistines, they do works. They try to imitate the works of God. They try to do things to deliver themselves from wrath and destruction. And what the Lord is showing his people here is, no, you're not going to deliver yourselves by your works. Look to my servant. Because I want to show you here the gospel. I want to show you Christ, that he is our peace with God. He's the one that reconciles us sinners, fallen, ruined sinners, to holy God. That's why the Father sent his Son, to save his people from their sins, to save those who trust him, who believe him, who look to him for salvation. God saves his people by faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not our works, not our works. And so remember this as we look here at Samson and what we learn here in this. Now, let's just adjust this here. All right, so not only do the Philistines in this chapter fail to accomplish their will, but we'll see that God is accomplishing his will. He's doing what he has purposed to do in destroying the enemies and saving his people. And one of the things that we see in salvation is that our salvation always includes the destruction of our enemies, the destruction of those who would destroy us and take us down to hell with them. And so in Samson, in his willing capture, because he allows himself to be taken, we also see here a beautiful picture of our Savior, who allowed himself to be taken by wicked men who would do to him what they thought they would do to him, but through that he accomplished our great redemption, our great salvation. So in the early part of this chapter, we're going to see repeated attempts by the Philistines to deliver themselves from the wrath of Samson, who is the judge of Israel. If you look down in verse 20, we see that Samson, of chapter 15, Samson judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years, and they tried to save themselves by their own works. Now, in verse 1, we're told it was a happy time. It was a good time. It was the time of wheat harvest. And if you remember from our study in Ruth, the barley harvest, that was the grain for the poor people. While the wheat was the expensive grain, that was the grain of the rich people. And Samson was likely a partaker in this wheat harvest. He worked his father's field. He plowed that field, and so it's wheat harvest, and he's feeling good. And he decides to take a kid from their animals and bring it to his wife and be reconciled to his wife with the sacrifice of this kid, this baby goat. But when he gets there, he finds things are not as he would, because, again, God had a purpose. He purposed to use Samson to destroy the Philistines, their rule over his people. And so he gets there, and he can't reconcile with his wife because his wife was given to another man. And the father says in verse 2, he said, "I thought thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her." Now what this man is trying to do is entangle Samson in sin. For the Jews, they weren't to take the sister of your wife. It was incest. And the Lord tells him in Leviticus 18, he said, "Do not do as the people that do in the land that you're going to. Don't do that. Don't be like them. What they do is wicked. What they do is sinful. Don't do as they do." And he's trying to entangle Samson from his purpose. Had Samson done that, he would have been turned from the purpose that God had purposed to do with Samson in destroying the Philistines. We see a picture in this of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh according to the purpose and will of God. And to turn him from his purpose, what did Satan do? He tempted him in the wilderness. He tempted him to bow down, to be turned from his purpose and to serve Satan rather than serve God and do what God had purposed him to do. And Christ wasn't turned from that. Thank God he wasn't turned from his purpose, because he loves his people. He loves the people whom the Father gave him. And he loves his Father, and he always does the will of the Father. And so Samson wouldn't be turned. And Samson said concerning them in verse 3, "Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure." And Christ did that. Christ did Satan, our enemy, a great displeasure in binding him and going into his house and taking from him the precious treasure of the Lord, the people of the Lord, and delivering them from bondage and death and ruin by his blood redemption. Now, Samson, to do a displeasure to them, he takes foxes, 300 foxes, he ties two tail to tail, puts an ember between them and sets it on fire and lets them loose into the cornfields of the Philistines. And they go through catching fire and burning up the corn, which is their food for them and their animals. And it burns up vineyards and it burns up olive trees. And the Philistines now, their attention is had and they're angry. And it says in verse 6 that they went up asking, "Who hath done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite." That's the father-in-law. "Because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion, and the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire." Now, fire pictures judgment. Fire is a picture of judgment, the judgment of God against sin. It's the picture of what God will do to sinners. And remember, Samson used fire to bring judgment on the Philistines. And now the Philistines try to affect the works of God They try to do the same thing as Samson did in bringing judgment with fire. Our Lord tells us that in hell, the fire is not quenched. And what he's saying there is, there's no escape. There's no putting it out. There's no satisfying the wrath of God in hell. You cannot deliver yourselves from the cords of the grave. You can't deliver yourselves from hell. You cannot deliver yourselves from the wrath and judgment of holy God. We're not going to do it. And God is going to judge the people, those people who are not his, with fire. Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9, "And to you who are troubled, you who are troubled by your own sin, you who are troubled with the sin of this world, you who are perplexed and tried and weary and worn and afflicted," Paul says, "rest. Rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Paul says, he reminds us, it's those that obey not the gospel, those that will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be destroyed with the fire of God. Doesn't matter what their works are. Doesn't matter what they try to do to deliver themselves from the wrath of God. They shall be destroyed with flaming fire. Judgment will be brought upon them. And so the wicked are not going to escape the wrath of God in the day of judgment. Before I go on, let me just say, isn't this what the woman was trying to avoid back in chapter 14? When her wedding guests came and said, "We're going to burn you with fire and burn down your father's house upon you if you don't tell us what this riddle means." And so what did she do? She betrayed her husband to avoid the wrath and anger of man. She didn't go and tell Samson what they wanted to do so that he would deliver her. She went and betrayed him. She betrayed him, and though she postponed that judgment for a little while, it was just that, just a little short while. And all those who would betray Christ, who would turn from Christ, who will not hear him, who do not believe what God has said concerning our salvation, all those who refuse him and continue in their own works to deliver themselves, they shall be burned with fire. They shall come into the judgment of God. The Lord is continually showing us, don't turn to your own wisdom. Don't turn to your own works. Don't try to save yourselves. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him whom I have sent. He is the salvation of my people. And all who look to Christ, all who come to him, all who believe him, shall find rest and peace for their souls with holy God. God is reconciled to his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. So to deny him in order to get along with the world, you may delay your troubles for a little bit, but soon that day is coming. That day of judgment is coming. So Samson used fire. And the Philistines, what do? They tried to calm Samson's anger and wrath by using fire also. They were trying to mimic the work of the judge. They tried to put an end to what Samson was doing by getting there first and putting to death with fire his bride and the father-in-law who gave her away. And we see this in Scripture, that it doesn't work. In Egypt, when the Lord sent Moses and Aaron to speak to Pharaoh, saying, "Let my people go," and they began to do some works to show that the Lord had sent them, what did the Egyptian magicians do? They repeated. They tried to mimic those same things. And for a little bit, they were able to repeat them up to a certain time. But did it work? Did it help Pharaoh in any way? Not at all. In fact, it says that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he would not hearken to the word that was spoken. When we try to do the works of God, by trying to do something to deliver ourselves, by work that we do, all it does is harden the heart and make us twice as fit for the judgment of God. It just makes it worse for us. So they tried to execute judgment using fire like Samson, and they tried to calm his anger down, but it didn't, to get him to stop judging the Philistines, but he didn't. He didn't turn from it. And this is a picture of works religion. This is what we do, what man does, men and women, try to do in works religion, to save themselves from the wrath of God. To turn the wrath of God, they try to do something good, they try to do a good work, they try to be different in order to turn God from his purpose of bringing wrath on the wicked. Doing your best by the law of Moses, trying to be good, or trying to act as you think a Christian acts, to make yourself, to bring yourself into salvation by what you've done. Trying to be as good as you can be, all it does is bring the judgment and wrath of God upon you. That's right. It doesn't save. Doing good works is not what God is telling his people to do. If you will do the work of God, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him. That is what God has purposed in sending his son. Trust him. Seek him. Cry out to him, Lord, save me, a sinner. Deliver me, Lord. Have mercy upon me. Be gracious to me for Christ's sake. Turn me from my own way and purpose and turn me to Christ. Give me faith, Lord. Pour out your spirit upon me. Deliver me from death. Deliver me from these vain works that cannot save. Turn me to the way of Christ. These works that man does to propitiate God only brings the wrath and anger of God upon them. They don't bring peace. If you would establish peace with God, stop doing. Stop trying to save yourselves. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why the Father sent him into the world. This is why the Son of God robed himself in the weakness of flesh and gave himself, fulfilling the purpose of God, obeying him in all things, sacrificing himself as the Lamb of God to deliver his people from the wrath of God. He gives peace. He establishes peace between God and men. We're told in 2 Corinthians 5:19 that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses against them, because he laid them on Christ, the Lamb of God. All his people, their sins were put on him, and the chastisement, Isaiah says, the chastisement of our peace was laid on him. Those stripes were our stripes. That death was our death. That wrath and punishment was my wrath and punishment. But for God's love, for his purpose of grace, he laid them on his Son and poured out his wrath on the Son, that I and you who believe in him should go free from the wrath of God, to be delivered, because Christ propitiated the wrath of God for us. He settled the debt with the justice of God. He reconciles his people to holy God by his blood. Listen to Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, being justified, it's done, it's a work already done, by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit reveals faith in us, manifests living faith in his child, which looks away from self and looks to Christ, believing him. And that's where God gives us faith. You that rest in Christ have peace with God, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein ye stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It's a work of God's grace, not a work of our sinful hands. We don't save ourselves. God saves us by Christ. If you would be delivered from the wrath and judgment of God, he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on him, and you shall be saved. So all the Philistines did by burning the wife and father-in-law of Samson was bring more wrath upon them. Samson said in verse 7 and 8, back in Judges 15, Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Edom. So he had done that purpose for which he came to do. They didn't deliver themselves by trying to do the works of God, by trying to do their own good work in burning his wife and father-in-law. He still judged them. He judged them for their works. Now this leads us to another picture here. When he goes to the rock Edom, we see another beautiful picture of what our Savior did in delivering his people from their sins. Verse 9 says that the Philistines went up into the land of Judah, and they were going to take Samson. And the men of Judah come and ask what's going on, and they tell him. And so they say, well, we'll go up, we'll speak to him, and we'll bring him down to you. We'll bind him, we'll bring him down to you, and turn him over to you, and you judge him according to your law, and you put him to death. You do what seems right to you. And so they bound Samson in verse 13 with two new cords. And that proved to be a vain thing, because when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he just snapped them like they were nothing. They just disintegrated off his arms, and he turned and destroyed these Philistines. Look at verse 14. When he came unto Lehi, which means jaw, the Philistines shouted against him. They began jawing against him. They began speaking against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And so whatever Judah and the Philistines conspired to do together here against Samson, it didn't work. It didn't work. He broke free, and he conquered his enemies. Now, in this, we see this most sacred picture of what Christ has done for us. On the night in which he was betrayed, he negotiated the deliverance of his people. He told them, if therefore ye seek me, let these go. He delivered his people. He set them free. They didn't get arrested. They weren't taken. They scattered and went their own way. And Christ willingly allowed himself to be bound and taken by the Jews, right? The people of Israel. They took him and they bound him, and they had a mock trial themselves before turning him over to the Romans to do to Christ according to their law what they thought right, which would be to put him to death. John 18, verses 12 and 13 says, then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas and Caiaphas, who were the high priests that year. And then they did this mock trial of Christ. They made up things, and they found him guilty, and they turned him over to the Romans to do to him, to put him to death according to their law. And they bound Christ with two pieces of wood, and they sentenced him to death by crucifixion. And there on the cross he died under the wrath of God, bearing the sins of his people as the Lamb of God to propitiate the wrath of God, to put the wrath of God, which was against his people, justly for their sins. Christ paid the debt for them as their surety. He answered to the justice of God on your behalf, you that believe him, you that have no hope and confidence in your flesh. Christ put that away. He dealt with the wrath of God. He paid the debt that we owed to God. And he was buried in the grave, but the cords of death could not hold him. Hell could not destroy him. He delivered himself. He broke free and was raised again from the dead, and there conquered all his enemies, his and yours, whose hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, here we see the purpose of God in this. Just as we see the purpose of God in taking Samson, it was to destroy the people, the enemies of God. Acts 2, verse 23 and 24. And just stay in Acts for a moment. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Just like those two new cords that bound Samson's arms, death could not hold Christ. He just snapped them right off of him, and he was raised from the dead. Now look at Acts 4. Acts 4, verse 25 through 28. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Man meant what they did to Christ for evil. They tried to destroy him. They tried to put the judge of Israel to death to deliver themselves, and it didn't work. In the process, Christ crushed the head of the serpent. He destroyed our enemies. Death hath no more victory. The strength of sin in death is dissolved. He put it away. He took away the sin of his people. He made an atonement for our sin. And he pleased God, he propitiated God, he paid the debt, he settled all that we owed to God, and now in him we are righteous before our God. We that believe on him are accepted and received of the Father, and we are brought into the family of God to know him, to have peace with him and fellowship with holy God. Believe on him. And Christ, having made remission for our sins, having paid the price that was necessary to deliver us, he does not leave his people in darkness, but he gives them light and life and salvation in his glorious person by his Spirit, regenerating us and giving us peace with God, making us to know who God is, making us to know what God has done for us in Christ. Now, we're told of Samson that not only was he free, but there's three things at the end of this chapter that I want to speak to you about. Three blessed things that the Lord does in salvation. Look at verse 15. First, he goes on conquering his enemies. He delivers his people from death and darkness. Look in verse 15. He found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. Now, this word new means moist. In other words, this ass had recently died. It was walking upon the earth, and now it's dead, only recently. And with that jawbone, he slew 1,000 Philistines. The second thing I want to show you is that in verse 17, he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called that place Ramath-Lehi. And then third thing we'll see is, being great with thirst, he cried to the Lord, because for God's glory, God had just given him a great victory over all his enemies, and now he was expiring. He was thirsty, and he was going to pass out, and the Philistines would have come upon him and seized upon him and killed him. You know, I was just looking at the a video on the Weather Channel that said that in Arizona there were two people there that rangers came upon that were hiking, and they were nigh to death. They were about to die. One of them, they said, was passing out from thirst. That's how thirsty they were, and so they airlifted them out of there. That's how thirsty he is. Could you imagine slaying 1,000 men and how thirsty you would be? And he was about to pass out from that, and he cries to the Lord. And it says, verse 19, but God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived, wherefore he called the name thereof En-Hakkore, which is in Lehi unto this day. And En-Hakkore means the spring or the well of one who cried. One who cried. Now, these pictures, these three pictures, are a reflection of what our God does for his people in salvation. It's what the Lord does for us. First, he seeks his lost sheep. He sought you. You didn't seek God. He sought you. And he brought you under the preaching of the gospel. He brought you under the sound of his voice, that you should hear the word of salvation, that you should be turned from dead, vain works that cannot save, and turn to the living Christ, the living God, the living Savior who saves his people from their sins. And so he raises up the church and he gives the church the word of Christ. And they preach that gospel. And though they are but like an ass, though they are but the jawbone of an ass, because that's what we are, the church is. We are but the jawbone of an ass. And the Lord in his hand is able to effect the deliverance of his people, to bless the heart of his people, to deliver them from the bondage of sin and death, and to take them out of that darkness and bring them into light, to feed them, to bless them with that glorious gospel word. We're nothing special in ourselves. We see the preacher of the gospel here. We also see the men and women who give their lives, their resources, their time, their funds to cause this gospel word to go forth, that it might be used of the Lord to bless his people in the world. And so we're nothing special in ourselves, but in the hand of Almighty God, he's able to work salvation for his people. And so by the preaching of the Lord, by the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done, the Lord slays the Philistines, though they be many, the Philistines of our hearts, all the sins, all the bondage, all the death, all the foolishness, all the vain things. He puts those things to death and turns us to Christ, turns us to him. Secondly, it says the casting away of the jawbone in that place, he called Ramath Lehi. That word means the height of the jawbone. In other words, what Samson's saying is that ass, when it was alive, didn't do anything near as mighty and special as what it just did in the hand of the judge, of the Savior. There's nothing more that we could do that is more glorious than to be used of the Lord to preach this word, to declare this gospel word. From that height, from being used of the Lord to preach the word, it's only down from there. It only goes down. If I became the president of the United States of America, I would be stepping down from what the Lord has done. If any of us are turned from God's purpose in giving of ourselves to declare this word, we're stepping down. We're turning away from that which is most precious. And so that jawbone, when that ass was upon the earth, whatever it did, carrying things, carrying people, plowing, whatever it was used for, it didn't do anything near as effective and as special as what it did when it was dead in the hand of Levi. In the hand of Samson in Lehi there. And so we see here the greatness of our God, who could take the jawbone of an ass and slay the Philistines of the heart and in the hearts of God's people and deliver them from their enemies that would destroy them. And then third, this spring of water, it is the regeneration of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, who comes and gives us life, who raises us from the dead and refreshes us and turns us from dead works and gives us life and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only gives us life, but preserves us unto the very end. Turn over to John 7. John 7. We'll end in John 7, verse 37 through 39. In the last day, verse 37, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." And so that's what our Lord does. He brings the gospel. He blesses that gospel, making it effectual to our hearts, to our ears, And he pours out the Spirit. He regenerates us, gives us spiritual life, raising us from the dead, whereby we hear the word of our Savior and we believe him. And we're filled and refreshed with his Spirit, who keeps us and blesses us, filling us with all the spiritual blessings of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. So remember, brethren, we cannot save ourselves. Though it seems to this natural wisdom to make sense that, well, if I do good, then God will be pleased with me. If I condemn others and I judge others and bring fire upon them, doesn't that make me look like a Christian? Doesn't that say that I've done what is good and right? No. All it does is make me twice as fit for hell. We cannot save ourselves by our works. God saves his people graciously in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he blesses us with the word, and he blesses us with his Spirit, and the Spirit applies that precious blood to our hearts, our guilty consciences, and comforts us and gives us peace with holy God. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Amen.